It's parents' night in. It's parents' night in. Yeah.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
Woo!
Welcome to Parents' Night In here at Enough.com. We're me, Justin.
And me, Ghost Kelly.
Talks about scary movies.
I'm not a ghost.
Why do you sound like one? I'm not a ghost. That was just a voice I was doing. It's not really a ghost.
I was just putting on a little, little woo.
Well, I must say it was very effective, Kelly.
Thank you.
I thought you were a ghost this whole time. Yeah. I'm very relieved to know that you're actually a person. Thank God.
Woo!
In this time of strife and paranoia, we're watching a film full of strife and paranoia.
Honestly.
Rather appropriate,
where
I think.
Where a whole town gets taken over by a mysterious disease.
Not a disease.
I know.
It's pod people.
Well, anyway, a lot of parallels. You know, before you said that, I didn't think of this
as
in the
relevant?
Same light, but
it's relevant.
Relevant. And I think I'm changing my mind. This might be too creepy.
Okay. It's called Invasion of the Body Snatchers. What year did I introduce you to this?
I don't remember.
It was fairly recent.
No, it wasn't that recent.
Like within the last 7 or 8 years?
Probably within the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I had not seen this, and I definitely didn't expect what it was. Like when you're like, we're going to watch Invasion of the Body Snatchers, I think you're really going to like it.
It was going to be like cheesy.
And I was like, no! I don't know what I thought it was going to be like. I thought it was going to be zombies.
It's not that.
No.
It's in the trappings of cheesy 1950s sci-fi, which, I mean, it's based on a movie of that type.
Yeah.
Which is still a pretty good movie in its own right, the original. But this one is pretty widely considered superior, with good reason.
From some of the reading I've done, it's also pretty widely considered one of the best remakes ever.
It is. And I agree with that. It's one of the best remakes of all time.
Yeah.
It redeemed the idea of the remake. So, it's originally based on a novel called The Body Snatchers, which I have read. I was probably in junior high when I read it. I don't really remember it. It was famously made into a 50s film, which was steeped in the communist paranoia thing.
Mm.
These are people you know. Maybe they're communists.
Jeez.
So it had that sort of subtext, which, you know, was very appropriate for the time. And then in 20 years later, in the 70s, they tweaked that to be about, like, the me generation. And how everyone's obsessed with their own shit and the family units falling apart, that kind of stuff.
Poor family units.
So it became very appropriate for this era, 1978. This movie has a wonderful cast.
It does.
With Donald Sutherland and Brooke Adams and Leonard Nimoy, who I think should have gotten an Oscar nod for his performance.
Yeah.
Particularly since it's so against type for him. He's like just such a creepy bad guy.
You want to know what he got paid for this movie?
$8.
$25,000.
That's it?
Yep. Want to know how much Donald Sutherland got paid?
$2 million.
In the $200,000 to $300,000 range.
I think Nimoy was just desperate to do something against type because he was stuck in the Mr. Spock rut.
The fourth main member of the cast is Veronica Cartwright.
Well, and the fifth is Jeff Goldblum. So I saw this, you know, parts of it for the first time when I was very young. My parents had friends whose house we would go to often. I liked going to their house, and this was on TV. So we were watching it, and I was like, hey, it's Mr. Spock! And I was like, wait, Mr. Spock is the bad guy?
Mr. Spock's not being very nice
That's
right
not
now.
Right.
Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland?
Donald Sutherland.
Donald Slytherin.
Works for the Board of Health.
What are you choking on?
My tongue.
Look at that phone. It's like built into the wall. I've never seen a phone like that.
Oh, I didn't see it. This apartment comes with a phone. Oh, bonus! That's how that transaction went when they looked at that apartment.
Wow.
You know what else is weird? How hideous the almond-colored phones were.
Yes.
Who decided that was important?
Yeah, we had one of those.
Like,
and it was a rotary
I'm going to take white and I'm going to bring it to the next level. Are you ready? Marketing executives in New York, 1978. Are you ready? Avocado is over. Mustard is over. Next, almond.
I'm going to take white and make it look like I peed on it.
I was just going to say the same thing. I'm going to take white, add a few drops of yellow, maybe one drop of orange, And then you have almond.
Have you ever wanted a major appliance that's the same color as Thousand Island dressing?
Have you ever wanted to buy a major appliance that looks like it's actually been fading for years and years and years and years and maybe, you know, needs a good bleaching?
Would you like an appliance that looks older than you? I love their...
There's a very cool house.
Their house.
Cool stairway and stuff. Her nightgown is it's quite the getup.
It's something.
Remember when people used to say getup? Hey, look at that getup.
Hey, that's quite the getup. No, yeah. I've never actually heard someone say that in real conversation.
Well, no, I mean it's only in movies.
Say, that's quite the getup. Where'd you get it? Macy's or Gimbel's?
Oh, wow.
There's already like telegraphing like all that gray shit in the garbage truck.
It's probably human remains.
It's human remains, but like you're not supposed to know that yet. But immediately you're like, that's weird. What's all this shit?
The dryer lint? It looks like Jeffrey's been doing a lot of laundry. Baskets. And then he emptied the dryer. Grampy had one of those.
The wastebasket with the white lid and like flour holes.
Yep, it was apparently to let the smell out. Yeah.
Why would you want to let the smell out?
Well, because you want your garbage to be airy and delicious.
No.
I don't know.
And like right here, there's a guy running and off screen you hear.
Yep.
Right at the beginning. They're just announcing it, but you don't know.
No. Why would you not know?
So Philip Kaufman, the director, decided to make this movie look like a film noir except in color. So with the lighting, there's all this like stark lighting and shadow.
And shadows, yeah, those shadows are cool. Yes. Well, and their banisters are like the coolest shape.
Yeah. So there's tons of great lighting and Dutch angles and a lot of off-putting visuals to make it look like noir.
I gotta be honest, if I were her, I wouldn't have married this guy. He sucks.
They're not actually married, they're just dating. But I think before he got turned into a mindless drone, he was an okay guy. She went to hug him, and she was like, that's not Jeffrey.
With Jeffrey.
If this were a musical, she would have a song.
Something is wrong with Jeffrey. He's leaving in a blue car that I don't know. It's a station wagon. Oh, no. Where is he gonna go?
Something's off about Jeffrey. I don't know what it is. When I went to hug him, he didn't look at me, and now he's going off with strangers.
I think I'll go and eat Chinese food with the other guy in my life.
His name is Matthew Bunnell, and he works for the Department of Health.
That was not the best.
What?
You kind of lost the whole thing there.
Shh.
Went off the rails a little bit.
We used to have a walk. We did.
Yes, we did. And then the handle fell off of it.
The handle fell off.
We were like, screw you, walk.
We had a walk when I was a kid, and my mom would make stir fry, and I'd be like, this doesn't taste like the Chinese from the restaurant.
It never does.
It's not.
I've never
gotten
those.
You know why? Because we were missing sesame oil.
Yeah. Not only that, though.
That's the key.
Cooking in a wok is very difficult. You have to get the heat just right, or you burn the oil, and you screw things up, and it just doesn't come out well.
There it is. I guess the director encouraged her to do that because it was like, okay, this is something a body snatcher would never do. So let's establish that little idiosyncrasies that the real people have.
Is he a ginge?
Did you call him D-Suth?
Yep.
D-Suth.
I thought you were going to let me get away with it, maybe. Is he a ginge?
He's
kind of auburn-y.
I think it's auburn.
He's got some crazy ass curls, man.
He's got a 70s fro.
That's great hair. That's great 70s hair.
And a mustache to boot.
I know. Well, you know, if this movie didn't work out for him, he always could have done the pawns.
He could have done the pawns. Later, he makes noises that sound like one. The man at the laundry place is complaining that his wife seems off too.
He's just like, she's wrong.
She's wrong. That's not my wife. He should have just said, she's probably on her period. It's fine.
I'm giving Justin a real dirty look right now. About as dirty as they come.
You've given me dirtier looks than that. Look at all that gray shit. What is this gray shit?
Dryer lint, Justin.
Wow, that's a lot. People are doing a lot of laundry.
Yeah.
That was part of the great San Francisco laundry boom of 1978.
It's probably directly tied to the great San Francisco laundry detergent shortage.
Well, it was just before. There was a detergent crisis. Jimmy Carter was very concerned about it.
Yeah, dryer sheets were going pretty strong prices on the black market. Yeah.
I mean, it was before video games showed up, so everyone was like, I don't know what to do with myself. Laundry. Let's just do laundry. Fuck it.
She's scared out of her gourd.
She's scared out of
her... Help her, Matthew.
You must be scared out of your goddamn mind if you think the fake Jeffrey's gonna bring the city to the brink.
The what, Jeffrey?
Fake Jeffrey.
Oh. I didn't know what you were saying because it was stupid.
You didn't know what I was saying or it was stupid? Her boyfriend is a dentist. DDS.
Jeffrey Howell. DDS. He locked his door. Now I can't get in because there's something weird going on with him and I don't know what it is.
He hasn't pulled a tooth in, weeks.
He's leaving with the nurse, but they're not talking. They're just walking down the street next to each other, and they're not even holding hands.
You know, I'd be less concerned if they were holding hands. At least he'd be banging the nurse, but he's not even doing that. Right. They're just walking and not talking to each other. What the fuck is going on, Jeffrey?
Brooke Adams, married to someone who is connected to something else that we just watched.
Silence of the Lambs?
Sort of. Yes.
Sort of.
Yes. Her husband was connected with an actor from Silence of the Lambs in another show.
Ted Levine?
Yes.
Oh, Tony Shalhoub.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, Ted.
Oh, Ted Levine, you creepy motherfucker.
I like Ted.
I like Ted too, but he's creepy.
He's creepy.
Oh, do you want to get a beer with me?
Yikes.
Hey, Ted. No, I got this round. Do you want me to get this round?
Would you? If I drank this beer before you could buy another round, what would stop me from drinking it?
What?
There he is.
Hello, Mr. Kibner.
Hello, Seth Brundle.
And Seth Brundle?
From The Fly. You haven't seen The Fly, have you?
I have seen enough to know that I don't want to watch
it. Another one of the greatest remakes of all time.
Mm.
He should have gotten an Oscar for that movie. He's fucking great in it. Jeff Goldblum's so fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's cool.
I love him.
He's a cool dude. I've been enjoying his jazz music a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big jazz fan.
And he plays and sings.
Does he sing? I forgot about that.
He does sing, yeah. Not like
singing good?
Not all of the time.
Singing wise? He sings,
That's not... What? That's not how it goes.
Oh.
So they're at a party with Dr. Spock.
With Dr. Spock?
Yep.
That's actually kind of funny.
I know.
That was Dr. Spock's heyday, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah. And that's why I always laugh, because he plays like the Dr. Spocky kind.
Yeah. A pop psychiatrist.
Mr. Spock... / Dr. Kibner / Dr. Spock
is
trying to calm a woman who's flipping out. And Elizabeth is like, I know what she's going through. I can fix this. And Kibner's all, look at my one-handed glove.
Yeah, why does he have that weird glove? What is that?
It was...
Is that like an archery glove?
No, but I guess it was... He purposely did it to sort of just stand out.
Mm.
Yeah, he just wanted to make him more distinctive and recognizable. Like Nimoy wasn't recognizable on his own.
So Leonard Nimoy is not recognizable?
He got the idea from a friend who wore it to cover a burn on his hand.
Oh. I love Leonard Nimoy, too. He was a national treasure.
Yeah, he's cool. He's from Boston.
He is from Boston.
Well, what was.
He was one of the great ones. Like, I mean, he had, like, personal issues. He had alcoholism issues. And he and his son were very estranged. I don't know if you've seen... The Spock documentary.
The Spockumentary. Did they call it that?
They should.
They really should have.
It's a great...
Missed opportunity.
It's a really great documentary, though.
Yeah, like I would watch it. I admire him.
His son made it. Adam Nimoy.
His estranged son?
They ended up reconciling, but for years they had a lot of issues with each other. And a lot of that was because of Leonard's alcoholism. But
Leonard was an alcoholic?
He was. Aww. But he cleaned up.
Was he boozing here?
I don't know. I think it was sort of on and off, so I'm not sure if he was here or not. But by the 2000s, they had reconciled and gotten very close. Mm. But he was just a brilliant guy.
Yeah.
Nimoy had such a compelling face.
Super compelling.
More so as he got older, like into his 40s and 50s, I felt like.
Men have it so easy. They just get more and more interesting. Ladies get interesting, too. And then everyone tells them they look old, and then they put things in their face.
Yeah. What the fuck is that about?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. If you look at Nimoy before he got famous, like some of the acting gigs, he doesn't look like the same person, really. Mm-hmm. He looks, like, unfinished.
Yeah.
I hope I get finished. I hope my face finishes. Like, I look at video of myself from my 20s, early 20s or
and
so.
And you look like a baby.
I look like I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
Put me back in the oven. I'm not done.
Well, you're done now.
I'm done now. Jesus.
You look great, kid.
I know. I'm overdone. So she's talked to David Kibner, and he's sort of gaslighted her into thinking, it's not your boyfriend.
He's a gaslighter, damn it.
It's the whole damn 70s. Nobody wants to commit to relationships anymore, so now they think, oh, my boyfriend isn't my boyfriend, so I'm going to dump him and go to somebody else.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Kibbs.
Jesus, Kibbs.
This thing kibbles and bits.
Maybe Jeff Goldblum's right about you, you hack.
I'm going to call him Kibbles and Shits.
Kibbles and Shits. Hey, Dr. Cock. Beam me out of this conversation, if you know what I mean. So my question is, when did he turn? Was he, is the implication that he was always one of them?
No, I don't get the impression that he was always one.
I think he was.
But that none of them have the personality for it.
What?
They can't turn on that personality.
I don't know, maybe he can because he's special.
I don't
get... He's a psychiatrist.
I don't think so.
That was my impression, is that he, like, from the moment we meet him, he's already been turned. And he's a psychiatrist, so he can just alter his shit.
I'm not going to join you on that one.
What a weird business.
It is a weird business.
We run a mud bath place. We'll massage you and stick you in mud.
We run a place where weird people come and lay in mud, and then you can touch them and stuff.
Yeah, the mud bath thing is so fucking... It's like, there were so many weird trends in the 70s.
Fondue and mud baths.
The pet rock. Who the fuck carpeting. Got duped into buying a rock?
I just saw his muddy butt.
This muddy butt.
It looks like a guy like reading a book in the mud bath. He's getting mud all over his book.
Oh no, I have a muddy butt. I didn't make it to the bathroom.
There have been plenty of people who have mud butts.
How would you like to massage this guy?
It looks like it would be kind of relaxing, like a stress ball.
What?
Like
a stress ball. Excuse me, could you sit at my desk next to me while I work naked so that I can squeeze your belly?
You know those ones
to
where,
relieve
like,
stress.
There's like sand inside of a balloon?
Okay, now turn like around. That. I'm going to grab your butt.
It's like sand inside a balloon.
Try not to get any mud on your butt. I don't want to grab your muddy butt. I don't want to touch your butt mud.
If there was such a thing as a Parents Night In commercial, I think the tagline should be, I don't want to grab your mud butt.
I'm not sure that conveys what we're about here on Parents Night In.
This is what I'm saying.
If there's one sentence that sums up Parents Night In, it's, I don't want to grab your mud butt. And they don't change the mud out?
It's mud, Justin.
So?
How can it get dirtier than it already is? It's dirt.
What if you took a dump in the mud? That's dirtier, isn't it?
Maybe it's sanitary mud. Maybe it's self-cleaning mud.
Self-cleaning.
Yeah, it's got like just like a pool. It's got like a filter and a return.
I'm so relaxed. I'm going to shit in the mud. Good luck cleaning that out.
This has gone further than I had hoped.
That's like finding a shit in a mud stack.
What are you drinking tonight, Justin?
It's a lovely transition. I am drinking Stag's Leap Cabernet.
I'm drinking Le Double Double IPA by Burke's Ale Works.
Burke's
Ale
Works.
Hanover, Massachusetts.
Hanover, Massachusetts, in our hometown.
I always got the impression...
Ooh, he's dropping her off at her house, and he's like, oh, Jeffrey's not here. Should we make out?
So, well, what I was just going to say is, I got the impression very early on, the first time I watched this movie, that he totally wants her. He's mad that she's with Jeffrey.
It's very evident from the first scene.
Yeah.
There's Jeffrey.
Oh, God.
Waiting in the wings.
Don't leave her there by herself.
Don't leave her here with Jeffrey, because he's not really Jeffrey. He's gonna put her in a pot and then replace her, and then she'll be gray stuff.
Oh, it's so creepy.
Jeff Goldblum is freaked out by his double. Speaking of doublas.
Oh!
Shit, I'm switching to Dubla. Fuck, I wish I had thought of that. We should both be drinking doubles.
Le Double. That's what we're going to call this movie from now on. Hey, what do you want to watch? How about Le Double?
Invasion of Le Double.
This movie is so 70s, there's like no color. It's brown and green and yeah. It's like all neutrals.
Yeah. Oh, it was the 70s. Mm. Brown, green, right there.
Brown and green and neutrals and yeah. And...
yeah, it's crazy how much green and brown is in this movie. His shirt is green. The curtain yep. behind him is green. There's another curtain that's sort of beige
and all
of
the
brown.
Characters are all wearing like cream, he's wearing brown, white, brown and green.
Green in the background.
Yep.
It's like the color of plant life. Mm. This is B&E right here, what you're doing, Matthew.
He broke a window and he's B&E-ing.
He's B&E-ing? Mm-hmm. The first two letters of his name are B&E. Coincidence? I think not. He's Matthew B&E-N-L.
B&E-N-L?
B&E-N-L.
And now he's got to climb up 95 flights of stairs. Good luck, Matthew B&L.
Matthew B&L. He's like Danny Aiello. Did they do a movie together?
Yeah. He went upstairs with the garbage pail so that he could take out the lint.
So that he could take out the trash that was his girlfriend.
What are you doing? Take out the trash that was my girlfriend. Thank you. Oh, thank you to not ask me about my personal affairs.
Making room for my new girlfriend who doesn't ever get angry with me because she has no emotions at all.
What is their plan? Like, once they get rid of all the people, but then to do what?
To rule it.
To just walk around in pods?
Kelly, they're basically just Republicans.
Yeah, but they... oh, no.
He says body weird.
Yeah.
I would like to report a body. I would like to report a buddy. Mm. You, like your buddy did something illegal? No, a buddy. I found a buddy in my place.
Everyone needs a friend.
Well, did you invite him? Did you invite your buddy? There was, of course, also...
going to San Francisco, be sure to leave your buddy in the trash.
His buddy's gone.
Yeah.
My buddy was right here.
Yeah.
What happened to my buddy? What'd you do with my buddy? I didn't take her from here. I took her from the bed. Her other body was in here. What? What drugs
Hello.
Are you on, sir?
I'm this man's psychiatrist, and I have to say...
I'm this man's psychiatrist, and I have to say he's well off his meds. I apologize. The other layer of subtext in this is 70s paranoia about mistrust of authority. Because this was in the wake of Watergate. Where people did not trust the government anymore. So it was... the era was rife with conspiracy theories and such.
2020's been a weird year.
It sure has.
We've been spending a lot of time at home and seeing these people being afraid to go outside because they might bump into the pod people who will turn them into pod people.
Oh.
Familiar.
Yes, this is very poignant, actually, right now.
Yeah.
People afraid to go out of their house. People afraid of infection.
Like, you know what? I feel like I'm safer in here with all you people because I know you people. And you people are safe.
I know all 10 of you people who listen to our show.
Also.
Wait.
You can't transmit anything through a microphone.
It's true, you can't.
Except noise.
It's true, ma'am, you can't.
Just,
noise.
Just sound.
Sound.
Sonic waves.
Bad jokes. So, the reason I think that he was one of them all along is right here. Because he leaves Matthew's apartment, and then he goes and he gets in this car, and he just goes, the sooner the better.
The sooner the better what?
Replace them. Jeffrey was sitting right next to him in the car.
I don't think he was the whole time.
I think he was. I think he was a son of a bitch.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna look it up on Google.
I'm gonna guess it's probably open to interpretation.
I'm gonna see what the consensus is.
Okay.
I'm gonna look for a consensus.
A consensus.
Was Dr. Kibner
always a pod man? Yeah, they really play up the 70s conspiracy theory thing.
Yeah.
But of course, since everyone's got a conspiracy theory back then, no one will listen to them.
The casting of Nimoy as Kibner is brilliant. Here is an actor audiences have been conditioned to trust as a kindly, if dispassionate, creature of intellect.
Then he becomes a non-kindly, dispassionate creature of intellect. He's the anti-Spock.
They suggest that mayhaps he's the leader.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's sort of the leaders. That's sort of the implication is that he's one of the leaders of the
So the new
spores.
The new age is going to take over the world and turn us all into pod people.
One thing about these body snatchers is they're real gaslighters. They're always like, why are you so emotional about everything? Why are you so emotional? Stop being emotional about something. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't find anything on it. No, I can't really find
much. I think it's deliberately left to interpretation. But my interpretation is that he was always, from the moment we met him, he was always one of them. The husband at the cleaner is now like, oh, she's fine. My wife is awesome. I love her. And so is the woman that she ran into at the book signing. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, my husband's great. I love my husband. So cool.
My husband is the coolest.
My husband has a great ass.
You know what? He bought me a gift, and it was like the awesomest gift. And I was like, husband, you're all right. I'm going to go find that lady. Tell her that everything's going to be okay. Now, I have my husband back and a cool gift.
What was the gift?
Socks.
Your husband won you over with socks?
They're real fuzzy and I like the way they feel on my toes.
They were Howdy Doody socks. I loved Howdy Doody as a little girl.
They actually used like a baby heart monitor for that.
Yeah, that's right. And the sound designer was the same guy who did Star Wars.
Oh.
Ben Burtt. Man's a genius.
Mr. Burtt.
Hey, Burtt.
So gross.
Burtt. You did design sound, Burtt. He destroys his other self, his other buddy. Why are you destroying your buddy, Matthew? That's pretty gory.
It's so gory.
This movie's PG, by the way.
I know. And that was one of the other things I read was like, this guy was like, I don't know how this got a PG rating.
Well, because it's not a person. It's just like a plant thing.
I know, but
but that's pretty graphic.
It's so realistic looking.
Yeah.
I expected the whole movie to be like that. Like, I can handle that once. That's about all I got.
No, the rest of it is all psychological.
Yep.
I know there's a lot riding up, but it's all psychological.
I knew you were going there.
Yeah.
I can't hear that word.
Psychological.
At the end of a sentence.
Without thinking of Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
Jack has decided to sacrifice himself.
She chases him because she can't let him go.
No, well, it's her husband. If I ran off, would you chase me?
Hell yeah, I would.
I thought you were going to say, no, fuck you. You're on your own, double.
Listen, Mr. Dubla.
Listen, Mr. Fake Justin. I'm running off with my friends.
I'm going to call you Justin. Get it?
Justin? Surely you jest. fake Justin. Oh, Berksale works. That is a fine Dubla.
It is. It's good.
That makes me want to give up my entire life and become a clone.
Mm-hmm. Do-do-do-do-do-ba-do-ba-do-do-do-ba-do. That's the commercial.
I've heard better.
You know what, Justin? They don't all happen just like that.
Do 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 do. Berks Ale Works.
That was decent.
Okay.
You're welcome for the idea. I'm gonna take credit where credit is due.
You're welcome for the improvement. Ooh, they're in the slutty part of town. I like this.
I like where this is going.
That's my favorite part of town. That'd be a good trap you set up. You'd be like, oh, you looking for some action tonight? Actually, yes.
Do you know who that is?
No.
You don't?
Somebody famous.
He's the director of the other movie.
Oh, Don Siegel?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, the original.
Do you know who told me that exciting news?
Was it Google?
Yep.
I thought you were going to say, yes, it was.
That's why I didn't, because that was the expected end.
Wow. You're a regular Anthony Hopkins.
Can't always give them what they expect.
Do the opposite of what they expect, Clarice.
You expected me to sing it, so I didn't. The next time you don't expect me to sing, that's when you're going to get it.
Okay.
Justin, guess who died?
That would be a horrible way to announce that.
America.
Yeah, pretty much. Here's one of the most tender, tentative kisses ever. Oh, I'm just going to... take my lips and go... Did you get that?
You know what? Donald Sutherland is a tender man.
In case you weren't sure if I kissed you, I went...
I think making that noise when you kiss somebody is probably not advisable.
Kelly, I'll have you know, I've hooked up with many ladies going, and they were all like, ooh, I like that you went, I have no complaints about,
This is really,
very educational.
It's really something.
It's a very educational episode of Parents Night In. God damn it, Spock. If you used your tricorder, you would see that I am very upset about this.
I don't know what any of those words were.
You would
were.
Go, bloop, 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 bloop. Captain, they don't like this idea. Mm-hmm. Non-interference is our prime directive.
It's so sad.
It sounded very Obama. We should not interfere. Captain, my tricorder says they don't want to be drugged.
This must have been the scene where she, I guess they, in one of these takes, she challenged Sutherland to a foot race and she won, wearing heels and a dress.
Oh, Brooke Adams, your legs move as fast as your eyes. Interestingly, those bagpipes playing Amazing Grace, which also happened in Star Trek 2.
Khan!
Khan! Are you ashamed that you know that Star Trek 2 is Khan?
I don't know what to think.
I don't know what to be ashamed of anymore.
I don't even know what to do anymore.
I've been with you too long. Should I learn the bagpipes?
No.
Why?
They're loud.
You're loud.
It's true, actually.
Basically, every conversation with you is like talking to a bagpipe.
Oh my god!
Justin B! Empty the dryer! Would you please?
Is this how you want to end this episode?
We're not ending it yet.
Is this how you want to end our marriage?
Are we ending the marriage over this?
I mean, that was mean. I can put up with a lot, but that's not one of the things I can put up with.
I can put up with a lot, but one thing I cannot stand, sir. Elizabeth, you didn't stay awake like I told you to. God damn it. Oh, her face. Look at her face.
That happened fast.
It did happen fast. Elizabeth, I have to talk to you right now. Something terrible has happened to your face. Matthew. He should have said, can we still be in love, Elizabeth? No. Oh, well, then that's a deal breaker.
Yeah, I think I'm out.
Sorry.
This is not what I signed up for.
I wanted to be in love with you, and now you've ruined it by falling asleep. Thanks a fucking lot, Liz. Can you still do the thing with your eyes? He should have asked her that.
Yeah.
That would have been a good payoff.
It would have. What are eyes, Matthew?
Like her performance here.
Because she's naked.
Super creepy.
Super creepy.
She does that tongue flick thing. Mm. Plus, you know, she's naked.
Apparently they filmed that scene twice. Once she has clothes on because...
For
they
a TV?
Wanted, yes, they wanted to show it on TV.
I think when I saw it on TV much later, it was on Channel 56 and they showed it with boobies.
Wow.
And I was like, Channel 56 don't give an F about nothing. 56 was great.
I miss
That's
Channel
how I
56.
Saw like the original Mad Max for the first time. They didn't cut anything.
Really?
Yeah. Veronica found him. Right here's one of the greatest endings ever. Matthew was one of them in the night. He got taken over and he turned in his friend, and the movie's over.
Oh, no. Now, how do you feel about the credits with nothing? No music.
No music, yeah.
No sound.
Yep.
It's because there was no soundtrack or anything. Score.
No score, no music. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's one of the great upsetting endings in movie history.
It is. No!
We were like, fuck!
The good guys lost.
Yeah. That was one of the first times that I can remember where, like, oh, shit.
There's no redemption.
This has a down ending.
Like, none of them got away.
Fuck. man. Anyway.
Such a good movie.
It's a great movie.
It's wonderful.
So what was it like the first time you watched it that made you fall in love with it in spite of what you thought going in?
Because it wasn't what I thought going in, and because the cast are all really great in it. It's a good cast, and they're all really interesting and fun to watch. And I had no idea where the story was going. Even, like, I've seen this multiple times, and I always kind of forget how it ends. Like, I forget how long he's separated from her, and that they do a really good job of playing it off like he doesn't get captured until that last second.
Yeah.
But it's just really well done without, like, hammering you over the head with it.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of things for you to interpret on your own. How about you?
I became aware of it as a kid. Obviously, I had seen part of it when I was very little. But the ending, that shot of him pointing and squealing.
Yeah.
It sort of haunted me from childhood just because the idea of it was so like, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. It's super creepy.
It's a super creepy ending. And it's like, wow, it's a movie where the good guys don't get away. They get assimilated. So that immediately as a kid made me interested in it because it was so different. And then I guess I was probably in college when it was on cable. And I think that was probably the first time I'd actually watched it from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And I was waiting for that moment the whole time, but found myself caught up in the whole kind of paranoia of it because it slowly builds that.
Yeah.
You can't trust anyone and the whole city is, like, staring at you.
Yeah, it is creepy.
It's great atmosphere.
Yeah.
It was another one of my triumphs as far as introducing you to a movie.
Yeah.
Where it was like, I was just hoping you would like it as a good Halloween movie. And the first time we watched it, you were like, that was awesome.
Well, because they were, the first couple of years, you were like, we're going to watch a bunch of Halloween movies that we were dating. It was like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I'm like, no. Thank you, though. You know, I expected this to be kind of like that. Like a crappy B-movie.
Well, it has the premise of a B-movie.
Yes, it does.
But it's handled with a movie.
It's a B-movie title with an A-movie style.
Just like Alien.
Mm. Yeah, I've never thought of Alien as a B-movie.
No. But, I mean, if you look at the premise, it's a B-movie.
Yeah.
But it's done so well that you're like, this is a great film.
Yep.
Very satisfying to introduce someone to a movie
and have them really enjoy it.
And have them enjoy it as much as you do.
Yeah. Sort of like how you felt when I made you watch Grease.
No.
Oh, it's not the same?
Anywho.
Okay. Anywho. Ooh. Or in this case.
Wow. Okay, albino from Princess Bride.
I didn't like that voice.
You didn't do it right anyway. It's supposed to be.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow. This fucking thing falls over like nothing lately.
Maybe it's drunk.
Yeah.
The recorder has been drinking.
Is it weird that I'm more in love with you than ever because you made a Tom Waits reference?
No.
The recorder has been drinking. Not me.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for joining us for this Halloween episode.
Yes. Halloween 2020, the creepiest time ever.
I hope that this was actually you listening and not your plant double.
Oh, geez.
I hope that you've not been taken over
by LaDubla.
Because that would be creepy.
And it would double our listeners.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and follow us on Twitter, MeWe, and Facebook.